Hello, everyone. I'm Joel Yu. Thanks so much for tuning in to Expert Insights, where we talk with industry leaders across modern financial services to discuss leadership and innovation. Let's get started. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I am joined here by my two great colleagues, Mr. Dan Cantanella, our Chief Lending Officer, and Mr. James White, our General Manager of Banking and Credit Unions. Boys, how are you guys doing today?
Fantastic.
Couldn't be better. They'd change my tax rate.
All right, man. Well, a topic I wanted to talk about today, and you guys are really well positioned to talk about this from an industry point of view, is the importance for both lenders and banks and credit unions and really all financial services broadly, the importance of increasing customer lifetime value. And we talk a lot about the most important thing from our point of view for all of our customers is how do I build a lifelong relationship from lead to customer for life? How do I offer products, services, and educate and advise them on the moments that matter so that I can be that lifelong financial partner? We talk about it a lot. And I think what I see is it's harder to do in reality. Want to get you guys feedback on why is this now more important than it ever has been from a profitability and growth perspective? And two, what are some practical pieces of advice that you guys are seeing from the leaders in the industry that we get a chance to work with and how they're really increasing that customer lifetime value? Kat, I'll maybe start with you.
Yeah. So certainly a passion of mine. I think what makes it more relevant now than ever before is just the market compression. Lenders are starting to realize that, they're not going to ever see maybe as many transactions as they have in 2020, 2021. And they now have a keen eye on how do I make sure that I'm maximizing the value of every customer that I acquire and ultimately turning that into more transactions per customer. And, we're seeing a lot of lenders really start to lean into their database, really start to look at their database as an appreciating asset. So that as more customers come into their database, they're making sure that that ultimately equates to, several transactions per customer. Most lenders are starting to realize that data intelligence is really a big component of being able to operationalize that effectively. Being able to utilize tools like Total Expert's Customer Intelligence to ultimately surface the next best opportunity to serve every customer in their database and ultimately create deal flow for their originators so that they can turn their originators that maybe from the referral-based network, from their real estate agents or from their builder network that may be getting, a couple deals a month. How do I turn that couple deals a month? Also supplement that with opportunities from their database to basically get them back to where they may have been or close to in 2020 and 2021 days. We know our industry average customer retention rate is an abysmal 20%.
Yeah.
So how do we make sure that we're deepening relationships through technology to help and then operationalizing that from a sales standpoint too? You've got to have your sales team that rallies around this and runs after the opportunities that you're presenting to them as well.
Yeah. James, give me your point of view.
Yeah. From a banking perspective, it's really quite interesting. Free money has really allowed everybody to be, more lax than they have historically because they were just trying to handle the volume. Well, now that it's slowed down, the cream rises to the top. And the way that happens is making sure that first you're keeping those customers for the lifetime. To ensure that you're getting lifetime value. And then the way you generate the most revenue from each customer is by generating high balances and high engagement. So whether you're really focused on EPOs or whether you're portfolioing those loans or selling them in the secondary market or, doing, rate changes, within the loan, you still have to ensure that you're keeping those customers engaged and building credibility, gaining that loyalty that financial institutions used to have just by being an institution that, the younger demographics don't have that same loyalty. So it's through personalization customization, understanding buyer intent, you know, all those things. So
I want to think about this from the lens of a customer journey. This all sounds great. And we can say, yeah, we're going to, you know, serve the customer's needs, blah, 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 all these great things. Everybody talks a good game, but I'm a consumer. Okay. Why do I care who I get my money from if I need a loan? Like, why would I come back to you?
A lot of it's just around, you know, are you helping that consumer, each consumer solve problems and be, you know, more financial fit, you know, help that, you know, advise the best originators out there are really mortgage advisors in the IMB space for sure. How do you advise, engage, and give really valuable advice to consumers that ultimately, you know, help them on a more financial wellness, you know, journey through their experience and their life's changes, you know, when they have a child, when they go through and have, you know, rack up, you know, massive credit card debt, whether they go on to buy their next purchase or buy down to consolidate or a debt consolidation opportunity. Yeah. Got to be advisors.
Let me drill into this a little bit, because this is really an important component. What you're describing to me is, if you're not adding value as a professional or as an organization, a bank, lender, doesn't matter, private banker, loan officer, wealth advisor, insurance agent, anybody that serves the consumer, if they don't feel there's value in your services, your expertise, your products, right? If they don't feel value, there's not any reason for them to go and stay with you. And the next thing that pops in front of their face, they will chase an online offer or something. So I want to dig into that a moment. And if I think about how to add value to a consumer as it relates to their financial journey, give me some examples of what you think is valuable.
You know, if I understand one of my customers has racked up a significant amount of consumer debt, whether that's their 30% interest credit cards, whether they bought, you know, three cars over the last couple of years and they have $100,000 in auto loan debt, looking at, can I consolidate this debt using some of the equity in their home, and looking at, you know, blended rate experience so that I can show them that, hey, listen, I can, if we consolidate this debt and take this option, we can ultimately save you X amount of dollars and increase your monthly cash flow by Y. So some of those things of just strategies on really understanding a customer at a deep level, understanding their debt profile, their equity position, the age, where they are in their own life's journey, and coupling that together to really provide solid advice to each and every consumer inside your database.
Yeah. James, give me your lens. And I assume you agree with that, but love your context as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. We've become so transaction focused because the volumes are so high. It's back to getting to the relationship and understanding that it's a human on the other side of the table. And the best way to engage with them is to make them understand that you have their best interests at heart. That's how you gain a loyal customer, is you're not trying to sell them something. You're trying to help them. I spoke to a mortgage leader just last week, and what he said was he's never actually sold a mortgage. All he's done is help his customers and present them options, and they selected the best one for them.
They educate their customer, right, on the different optionality. And I think it doesn't necessarily matter which buckets of products and services you're talking about. If you're educating the consumer on the scenarios, products and services that are the most relevant to kind of what is important to them at that moment in their life, you're going to be providing value. All right, gentlemen, I think I want to spend this last few minutes here talking about the key components to really being able to have a strategy in place that positions you as an organization and a practitioner or a professional to really have those high lifetime value customer relationships. And there's really three layers that we talk about, three core pillars that are critical to being able to drive lifetime value. And the first one is that data and intelligence layer, where the customer profile needs to continuously be enriched, both from conversations that your people are having and then also your first party and third party data sources. So you've got that data layer really critical, and you've got various levels of maturity, super important to identify where you are on that maturity curve. The next level is then, how do I automate that intelligence, those insights from all of that? How do I automate that getting to the places where we can action on it? Kind of think about those two layers. And then the key is, unless you have insights that you're able to action on, that are at the moment, they're available to the customer-facing teams at the moment they need them, you actually don't get any value out of this intelligence and data. And we've learned this, you know, from a lot of our work, but it's really those three layers. It's that data and intelligence, the automation of that to get it into the places where it needs to be, so that when it comes time to educate and engage those consumers, I've got those insights enabling my call script, enabling the message that I'm sending. And I'll maybe let you guys simplify and expand on kind of what I just described, but I think those are the three key layers to be successful at this, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, I've spent so much time in the industry, I've seen so many investments being made into data, and you know, very little ROI results out of that data, because they sit in, you know, these data warehouses and data repositories totally disconnected from the sales and marketing platform. So it's really important that as you're looking at the strategy and you understand that, hey, we need to use data to really surface opportunities from our customer database, making sure that that is so tightly coupled to your sales enablement and your sales team's capabilities and where they work, so you're not trying to change behaviors, as well as your marketing platform, so that they can provide this, you know, air cover of experiences at, you know, a personalized level to each consumer in your database. The only way to do that is to kind of stitch that all together seamlessly.
Let's compare that, what you just described, with what we see happen a lot of times out there. So in a lot of cases, we've got analytics teams, insights teams that have these large data platforms where there's all kinds of intelligence and insights, but it's largely in a silo, right? And sometimes the marketing parts of the organization, they are doing imports of some of that intelligence, and then they're firing out campaigns or they're firing out marketing kind of air cover. But then the moment that it matters, where a consumer responds to an email or goes into a branch or interacts with a loan officer or a banker, and that person, the employee, the loan officer, the banker, doesn't have any context from what you just sent the customer. They don't have any of those insights or that intelligence. So now I know that I got to build trust and maintain trust, but I've been talking to him in one voice over here on the marketing side. And now when it comes time to really have an impact and give that advice at the moment that it really matters, I don't have any of that data and intelligence. And that's really one of the core problems that we see organizations struggling with right now, right? I mean,
absolutely.
For sure.
All right, guys, as we wrap up, let's leave the audience with some actionable suggestions on how to really make an impact and improve lifetime value, their customer lifetime value, that customer loyalty, how to really improve it next year. So from my standpoint, I'm going to be a little more high level. I'll let you guys give some maybe more specific examples. But at a minimum, if I'm in leadership in an organization, I need a really honest assessment of my data maturity and what intelligence and insights I have on my customers, prospects, past customers. So I need to really understand that. And then I need to probably prioritize pieces of intelligence or data that would help me have a better view on how to serve those customers, right? And that could be any of the different elements that are out there. It could be property information. It could be loan information, interest rates, today's market rate, whatever it might be. So then I want to look at how does that data and then intelligence and the insights from that data, how does that make its way into the customer journey from how we educate and engage consumers and run an actual sales and marketing process, right? How does it, where are the disconnection points, right? And then all the way down to where I'm interacting and engaging with the consumer. I'm running a marketing campaign and that triggers an engagement with a consumer. Does my sales organization, do my customer facing people have those insights at that moment to have the highest quality conversation possible, right? Or respond to a message with as much context as possible. Because that moment, and if you think about just all the way through that continuum, when I respond to that message or have that conversation, the quality of that conversation is really going to have an impact on whether or not we're able to retain that consumer, whether I added value or didn't add value.
I would say a lot of the conversations that I have, Joe, are just around, you know, where customers are slipping through the cracks. You know, look, you know, kind of breaking it down into three buckets, your top of the funnel activity. You know, am I using data and intelligence effectively at each of these milestones? Top of the funnel, in process, past customer. So at your top of the funnel, you know, you probably had a bunch of prospects that left the market when rates hit 8%. Are you using data intelligence to now re-engage those customers and bring them back to the market? Do you have intelligence signals to understand when somebody is rate shopping you with other competitors and re-engaging them at the right time as sales cycles have increased? In process, right now with the rate environment changes, we're doing a lot of analysis on, you know, reducing lock pipeline fallout. So, you know, if you locked somebody between October and mid-November, you have a lot of risk in your pipe, in your lock pipeline, where people are looking down the street and saying, hey, this lender I can get 6.5 with, should I really complete this transaction with my current lender that's got me locked in at 7.25? So are you using data intelligence to really understand those consumers that are looking down the street?
James, how about from you, you know, what are some suggestions that you have and some of the specific tactical things you're seeing as you're having customer conversations or industry conversations on how to really move the needle in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, so banks and credit unions historically have a tremendous amount of data on their customers and members, but can't act on it. You know, so, you know, if you're really doing an honest assessment, as you look at it, what you're going to see is a massive breakdown between the data silos and the ability to get it to the field and get it to engage the customers. And it has to be way more than just a report. This problem has really existed for quite some time and feels like a really large problem, and sometimes can be crippling because it feels like it's an overwhelming issue, but it really isn't, you know. So the big thing, if you want to make a financial impact in your organization, is crawl, walk, run. Start making an impact today. Don't try to boil the ocean. Start with small insights and act on them and then build on it, because...
And let me drill into that really quickly and start with things that actually will have an impact, right? I think we've seen organizations where they're mobilize a big team that doesn't have context into the things that will move the needle, and they're doing projects that maybe don't. So what you're describing is when you're grabbing these little incremental things, focus on areas of specific progress. Like, you know, in your world, how do I improve the onboarding experience so that I can have a conversation about the next product? Because if I don't touch that box, I'm not even getting to the next opportunity, right?
Oh, yeah.
Describing? Yeah,
exactly. And you can't rely on a data scientist and a score to come up with what is going to be the most impactful. You've got to look at it from a human perspective, a human interaction perspective.
Human first, which is one of my, you know, favorite sayings. And we talk a lot about it's, you know, yes, business to business, business to consumer, but it's human to human. Don't forget about that, right? And don't forget about the importance of being able to hit those components.
Well, what I tell our customers is everybody wants to have a customer for life and customer for life value. Think about what businesses you interact with that you're a customer for life with. What separates them? Now just do those things. you know, so yeah. It's really, it's not so difficult. It seems difficult, but it really isn't.
All right, guys. So we've fleshed out really some good conversation around the importance of a customer for life strategy on why as an organization improving lifetime value or winning customers for life really matters to your long-term success. Both profit and growth are the most powerful thing you can do is have lifelong relationships. And then talking through really, here are some things that you can do to make it better fast. And love the feedback on starting with these low-hanging fruit things, making incremental improvement, but really grounding your organization on we are going to be a customer for life organization, and how we approach everything is from a lens of we want a trusted lifelong relationship with every single customer. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.